Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Lawmaster, the Law of God broadcast. The substance of this program is intended for the Pope and all Gentiles. When the papacy summoned God, Mr. Hart appeared. When the papacy cast God, Mr. Hart did the work. Therefore, when the sitting Pope declares the name of God, he calls Mr. Hart's name. In this episode, God enters into the complex that is the law, by the law, and shows a complex within the complex of the singular Bible law. Questions of interest, Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Or whom shall he, God, teach knowledge? And we'll get an answer for that when we get into Psalm 119. Second, Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he, God, make to understand doctrine? Job 48, wilt thou, God, disannul the papacy's judgment? My answer to that is God has disannulled the papacy's judgment, and that can be seen in the ban on Jesus, for one thing, and it can also be seen in God's Freedom of Information Act. God has annulled a judgment of the papacy. Okay. Statements of concern, Isaiah 28:26. Here's the sitting Pope's God thus instruct him. That appears to be an answer for the question, whom shall he, God, teach knowledge? And to Psalm 22:22 and Hebrews 2:12, we have this statement from the papacy. I, the sitting Pope, will declare thy God's name to my brethren, the Gentiles. That's a solemn declaration which the sitting Pope must honor. Job 37:19, the papacy declares, we cannot order our speech. I'll speak on that once I enter into Psalm 119, the speech of the crucial speech of the papacy to God is out of order. And the papacy declares here, we cannot order or put in order our speech. Psalm 119:133, we have the commandment, order the papacy's steps in thy God's word. Order my steps in thy word. That's the direction or order coming from the papacy to God. Ecclesiastes 3:13, it is the gift of God. In this episode, you will see what the gift of God is and how it relates to the glorious law of God. We now go into the other substance of this program. We're going to talk about the glorious law of God, among other things. We're going to see some points regarding that glorious law that we have not seen before or shown before. And I'm setting up my computer stuff here. As I do this, let me say this. We should respect the law of God. The Gentiles are expected to respect the law of God and do what they are supposed to do as it relates to the law, the law of God. Okay? Now, all right. Setting up my board here. Can't see me bring it up. Okay, but I'll get to that later. Okay, let's go ahead and proceed with the lecture here. The first thing I want to do is to give a description. So I have several words here that have to do with the glorious law of God. The first word here is indisputable. The glorious law of God, and this includes all the parts making up the glorious law of God, the glorious law of God is indisputable. That means it is unquestionable. It cannot be disputed or doubted. It is unquestionable. The second word is incontrovertible. Incontrovertible means not debatable or disputable, undeniable. The glorious law of God is undeniable. These things are self-explanatory. The next word is indefeasible, that which cannot be undone or made void. The glorious law of God is indefeasible. And that's a very important point, because there's a statement in Psalm 119 to which we can set up this defense, stating that the glorious law cannot be undone or made void. Inviolable, not to be violated, not to be profaned or injured. Sacred, the glorious law of God is inviolable. And the next word is invincible, that which cannot be overcome. The glorious law of God cannot be overcome. Now let's state again the main point making up the glory, constituting the glorious law of God, and that is in Revelation 17:17, and we have these words. Revelation 17:17, which say, the words of God shall be fulfilled. And again, I remind you that the word of there means the words concerning God that are in the AVB shall be fulfilled. And the word of also means coming from God, coming from. The words coming from God shall be fulfilled. All right. That's the glorious law of God, and then we have its other parts, interconnected parts, relating parts, etc. Okay, we gave you those terms describing the glorious law of God. Next, we go to the call of God. I want to restate the call of God. I have stated it maybe two times heretofore. I want to restate it. And I'm going to first give the references, because there are added references here, maybe a couple of them. I'll read through the references, then I will read the substance of the call. The references, Acts 17:23, Acts 21:37, Acts 26:3, Acts 24:4, Isaiah 29:11-12, Genesis 4:23, Isaiah 28:23, Genesis 32:27, 1 Samuel 23:11, Judges 9, verses 10, 12, 14, Isaiah 3:6, Matthew 8:9, 1 Samuel 23:27, Genesis 19:22, Psalm 94:1-2, and then we have Acts 28:22. Here is the substance of the call of God. The call of God is coming from the papacy to God, to the unknown God. May I speak to thee. I beseech thee to hear me patiently. I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us. Read this, I pray thee. And let me add that, speaking about reading the content of the Authorized Version Bible. Read this, I pray thee. Hear my voice. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. What is thy name? I beseech thee, tell thy servant. Come thou and reign over us, the Gentiles. Be thou our ruler, and let this man, the sitting pope, be under thy hand. I, the sitting pope, am a man under authority. Haste thee and come and help us. For I, the sitting pope, cannot do anything till thou be come. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Show thyself to the priest, the sitting pope. Show thyself to the world. We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. That is the papacy's call of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:26, we find these words which say, ye see your calling. You see your calling. I see my calling. I am called to fill the position of God and do other specified things. I see my calling. That is a statement that has come to pass. That is a statement that has come to pass. I see my calling. And that calling has to do with the God position, filling the God position, and doing other specified acts. All right? That is the call of God as it stands now. Of course, God has received the call of God, the papacy's call, and God is letting the papacy and all other Gentiles know that he has come and that he expects certain things of the papacy and the Gentiles, just as the law requires, okay? And one thing is that the papacy, the sitting pope, must come and visit God. All right? Gentiles are to respect the law of God, honor the law of God, and abide by the law of God. All the words of God shall be fulfilled, whether those words are in the AVB or whether those words are actually come directly from the mouth of God or the hand of God. The writing of God or the actual mouth of God. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Okay. All right. Now, the next thing is, I want to read, I think it's good for me to speak about revelations, meaning this. You hear me talking, and some of you might not know exactly what is going on. All right? I speak these things to help you. What is a revelation? Of course, we know what a revelation is. A revelation is being told or shown something that you didn't know before. Okay? Simply put. Okay, I have said these words, we are living in the day or time of God. That is a revelation to the Gentiles and the papacy. The call concerning God is a summons. I have said that. That is a revelation. God has been summoned to a specific task, duty, okay? That is a revelation. No man in the AZB is the papacy's nickname for God. That is a revelation. The statement in Revelation 17:17, the words of God shall be fulfilled, is the glorious law of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a revelation. When I said with respect to Revelation 17:17, the word of means concerning, and it also means coming from. That is a revelation. In the episode dated 6/29/2010, I uttered the name of God. That is a revelation. I said the book of the law of God contains these three things: the papacy's infamous curse against black people, the papacy's iniquitous law of Passover, and three, the papacy's undeniable, infallible signs of the presence of God on earth where no man is. That is a revelation. I said the papacy said these words to me. The words are found in Matthew 8:8. The papacy has said to me, speak the word. That is a revelation. I said crucial matter of the AZB is being fulfilled, and we hear it and see it. That is a revelation. I said God now has a face, a name, a body. That is a revelation. The law of God is a complex. That is a revelation. The AZB is an incomplete book because in it, its crucial content is unfulfilled. That is a revelation. What makes the crucial content of the AZB complete? Fulfillment of Scripture makes the crucial content of the Authorized Version complete. Again, as it is in the Bible, the Bible content is incomplete because it lacks the crucial information that it demands. Of course, God is giving answer to the crucial revelation, and God is fulfilling crucial content of the Authorized Version Bible. All right. Crucial content of the Authorized Version Bible is being fulfilled in our day and time, this day, this time, by God himself. Of course, it takes more than the work of God to fulfill Bible content, Bible crucial matter, because the Gentiles and the papacy have things that they are supposed to do also to aid in the completion of Bible crucial content. I have said the crucial matter of the AZB has descended from the papacy. That is a revelation. I read 1 Corinthians 7:36, which says, let him, God, do what he will. He, God, sinneth not. That is a revelation. I said, I have been called by the papacy to fulfill or to fill the position of God. That is a revelation. I have said all things earthly are heavenly and all terrestrial are celestial. That is a revelation. I have said the battle of that great day of God Almighty has been fought out in the mind of God. That is a revelation. I have shown two secret Vatican statements found hidden in the term Armageddon. They are one, a damn doer, and two, an armed God. That is a revelation. I have said God has received authority from the chief priests, those of the papacy. That is a revelation. I said the battle of that great day of God Almighty was not waged to win the God title, but rather to prove God. That is a revelation. In its secret statement, Adam Dua, the papacy has committed insubordination and blasphemy. That is a revelation. I have said the papacy has spoken to God by means of the crucial content of the AVB. That is a revelation. I have said I am a witness. I am a witness of the battle that has taken place in the mind of God. He who is witness to that which has taken place in the mind of God is God. That is a revelation. I have said the statement, power belongeth to God, is a determinative precaution. That is a revelation. I have said God has come and he seeks to make his presence known. That is a revelation. 1 Timothy 2:5, with respect to it, the mediator existing between God and men is found in the AZB's crucial content, consisting of, but not limited to, precautions, determinations, prejudgments, etc. That is a revelation. This fact cannot be dismissed. Salvation, as in the Hebrews 5:9 statement, he, God, became the author of eternal salvation, is a reference to God's book, the book of the law of God. It is a reference to the things God has salvaged from the heap of the content of the Authorized Version Bible. That is a revelation. Okay, so what's the point? The point is many revelations are being given. Many revelations are being given. Are you picking up on them? Are you wise to that fact? Okay, so we now know what is going on. In my discourse or in my lecture, I am revealing things. God is revealing things. Okay? And these things are true. The things he reveals are real. Okay? Thus far, we've spoken about the call, the papacy's call of God. I see my calling. It's clear. I am operating in my calling. The call of God, the calling of God. I am presently operating in that call. The papacy has admonished me several times by means of crucial matter of Bible content to go my way, go my way. What that means is to operate in the capacity which I have been called to fill. To operate in the capacity I have been called to fill. Go thy way, the way of God. All right. Now we come to the matter of the complex of the law. The complex of the law. We state first that a complex is a thing that is made up of many interconnected, related parts. And those parts can be viewed as a whole. Okay? My statement is the law of God is a complex. Now, what makes the law of God a complex? Let's see. Now, when the Bible speaks about law, it can speak about one particular law, or it can speak about the law as a whole. I work with the law, Bible law, period, okay? That law being, all the things that I work with being considered a whole, such as, what have I done? I have brought forth the papacy's infamous curse against black people. I have brought forth the papacy's iniquitous Passover law. I have brought forth the promises of God. I haven't given them on this program yet. I've got to do that. I have brought forth, though, on this program, the expectations concerning God. I have brought forth on this program the undeniable, infallible signs of the presence of God on earth where no man is. Okay? And not only that, but I've brought forth on this program the glorious law of God. All of those things are viewed as a whole because they are connected. They all have to do with the work of God. So that they can all come under the term the law of God because God is concerned with all of those things. So we're talking about a complex. A thing that is made up having many interrelated or interconnected parts, a complex. Okay? My work is a complex. My work in the book of the law of God, all things, the demonstrated power of God, is a complex because it deals with what? Many interconnected parts. All right? So we're clear on that. What a complex is, and the work of God, the book of the law of God, that it is a complex, that work as a whole, okay? Now, we are zooming in right now just on the glorious law of God, the glorious law concerning God, the personality, okay? Now, in that law, we can further break it down into its parts. We have the main statement, a very main statement, if that can be very main. We have a main statement set forth in Revelation 17:17. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Everything else concerning God can come under that one statement. It has to do with that one statement, the words of God shall be fulfilled. Whether those words are written in the AZB or whether those words just come from the mind of God himself and the mouth of God himself, whether they are written, whether they are spoken. Okay? The complex of the law concerning God. What things make up that complex? We can limit it to what? We can limit it to the promises concerning God. We can limit it to also along with that we have the signs of God. We have the expectations of God. We have the glorious law of God itself. We have commandments concerning God. We have commandments coming from God, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things can be viewed as a complex of the law having to do specifically with God. Okay, now, in this day and time, okay? So I call that law of God, inclusive of all its parts, a complex. So I say, wow, we have a complex within a complex. Okay? outside of that complex, but yet not separate from that complex, we can include the papacy's iniquitous Passover law, the papacy's infamous law of the curse, you see? A broader picture, you know, broadening the complex of the law, you know. But I hope I'm not confusing anyone, but we have the complex of the law of God, that law that has to do specifically with God and his operations, okay? Now, is there a complex in the AZB? Ladies and gentlemen, we now turn our attention to Psalm 119. But as we do that, I would like to break from the subject here and air the announcements. All right. Every week I ask you to work the links, visit the links there on Lawmaster's page, center column. You will find two links there. One link, you can click on it and obtain your copy of God's book, the book of the law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. And I say to the Gentiles, do that. Do that. Work the links. Click on the PayPal link to order or to obtain your copy of God's book, the book of the law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. And click on the second link. This may not be the right order, but click on the other link to visit our YouTube presentation. Visit the YouTube presentation. All right? Also, I would also like for you to go back, revisit the lecture coming from me that has to do with the signs of God. Revisit that. Study those signs. Study those signs and compare those signs to what I am doing. It's obvious that I am fulfilling Bible content because I do things like carry out the instructions given in the Authorized Version. So visit the visit that episode that has to do with the signs of the presence of God on earth, and also the Armageddon wrap-up. Visit that. Get your downloads, okay? And also one more that I would advise, that is the naming of God in the episode, The Glorious Law of God. Get your downloads. Visit the links. Obtain your copy of the document. If you have any trouble, then get in touch with me via this program. Get in touch with me, okay? And let me know that there's a problem and where we can seek to eliminate the problem. If there is a problem, I don't know, okay? And visit the YouTube presentation. So again, I say, the announcements are over. Again, I say we are living in the day and time of God. The day and time of God, when God has answered the papacy's call. Isn't that something? God has actually answered the papacy's call. They call for God, and I answered. They tasked God. I did the work. So when the papacy declares God, he declares the name of Mr. Hart. That is really something great. The Bible is a great book to do the work set forth in Bible content is a great thing. It's the thing that the Gentiles cannot dismiss. The Gentiles are not to overlook in any way, but the Gentiles are to react responsibly, because the Gentiles are a responsible people. The Gentiles will do that which the Authorized Version calls upon them to do. They will carry those things out. The sitting Pope will carry out his end or his part that is given in the AZB. He will carry out his part, and one of those parts is to visit God. Several weeks ago, I spoke to the papacy, telling them those of the papal office to prepare to meet their God, telling the Pope to prepare to meet his God. All right? The Pope has promised God in the AZB to visit God, to come to God. So God expects him to carry out his word. Okay? Also, the papacy in the Authorized Version Bible speaks to the Gentiles. The papacy speaks for the Gentiles to God and in behalf of God. Okay? These are rudimentary things. These are things that we must know, and these are things that we must act upon. I have to do my part that is in the Authorized Version. The Pope has to do his part that's in the Authorized Version. The Gentiles must do their part that is in the Authorized Version Bible. The words of God shall be fulfilled. That cannot be called back. Remember the terms, the six or seven terms that I gave at the beginning of this program. All right, let's get back to the lecture. All right, we come to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Obviously, Psalm 119 is divided into many parts, about 20. All right, that's just obvious, just from looking at it, without even reading its content. Psalm 119. Okay. Psalm 119, the complex. All right. I told you at the beginning that I am ordered by the papacy to, well, let me just read the statement. It's in verse 133 of Psalm 119. I want to turn to it also. Verse 133 says these words: order my steps in thy word. Okay? Put in order his steps. Okay? In order for me to do that, I must first put in order the words constituting Psalm 119, because they are disordered. All right? Example, in my putting in order the content of Psalm 119, I've said before, Psalm 119 is a tribute to God. It's a tribute to God. It talks about the works of God. It talks about the word of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God, etc., etc. All right? Now, in Psalm 119, a tribute to God, it is a complex. A complex is a group of interrelated or interconnected ideas, okay, etc., that form or are viewed as forming a single whole. Okay? We will first deal with the word, or in some cases we have it pluralized words. No, we will first deal with the part that has to do with the servant. All right, verses 17, 23, 38, 49, 65, 84, 91, 94, 122, 124, 125, 135, 140, and 176. These are the words, and in these words, the papacy shows itself as being the servant of God. The papacy says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Establish thy word to thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Now, this servant is a reference to the sitting pope. Okay? Remember the word to thy servant. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. How many are the days of thy servant? All are thy servants. That's a declaration. All are thy servants. All Gentiles are the servants of God. Okay? John 17:10 makes a statement. John 17:10 says, and all mine are thine. All mine are thine. In Psalm 119:91, the papacy declares, all are thy servants. And we have a clarification coming in John 17:10, all mine are thine. Who has belonged to the papacy? The Gentiles. The Gentiles are the papacy's people. The papacy declares all of his people are God's servants, just as he declares of himself that he, the sitting pope, is God's servant. All right? Verse 94 of Psalm 119, the papacy says to God, I am thine. 122, be surety for thy servant for good. 124 of Psalm 119, deal with thy servant. And I'm dealing with my servant now and in these broadcasts as I present information. And this information is meant for the sitting pope and his people, the Gentiles. And he declares that his people are now the servants of God. All right? I am thine. Be surety for thy servant for good. Deal with thy servant. And again, in verse 125, the papacy declares, the word of the papacy declares, with regard to the sitting pope, I am thy servant. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Thy word, whose word? God's word, my word, he says, is very pure, therefore thy servant, the sitting pope, loves it. Then in verse 176, the papacy says to God, seek thy servant. Well, in seeking my servant, I have found him, and I have found that my servant, is the sitting pope. The sitting pope is the servant of God. So in Psalm 119, the papacy declares the divine for the sitting pope, and that is the sitting pope is the servant of God. He is to operate in that capacity, the capacity of servant of God. And in that, in those statements, some of the most important statements, he says, he is my servant, he loves my word. Okay? So, those are the parts that have to do with the servant in Psalm 119. Next, we go to the word of God. Psalm 119 speaks to the word of God. Here again, the papacy declares certain things to God. We have verses 9 of Psalm 119. We have 11, 16, 17, 25, 28, 38, 42, 43, 50, 57, 67, 74, 76, 81, 89, 105, 123, 130, 140, 160, 162, 169, and 172. Let's hear the words that the papacy has said concerning and with regard to the word or words of God. Keeping in mind the glorious law of God, which says, the words of God shall be fulfilled. Okay? Now, what's the word of God? Let's go back to the part on the servant. What's the word of God that shall be fulfilled? The part where the papacy says in verse 94 of Psalm 119, I am thine. I am thine. The sitting pope is to fulfill that word. Okay? Where the in verse 125 of Psalm 119, the papacy declares, I am thy servant. The sitting pope is to fulfill that statement. Okay? The words of God shall be fulfilled. The words concerning God shall be fulfilled. I am thy servant. The sitting pope must operate in that capacity. Okay? He must fulfill that statement. Just as I have fulfilled the statement in verse 176 of Psalm 119, which says, seek thy servant. I sought my servant, and I found him. I have found my servant in the sitting pope. The words of God shall be fulfilled. I have fulfilled that word. I have found my servant. I have sought and found my servant, the pope. All right? Now for the word of God or the words of God. I'm just going to read the statement. I have given the references. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And as in giving an answer, it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So he's talking, the papacy is talking to God, all right? I will not forget thy word. Verse 16, very important statement. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. All right? The pope is expected to live up to these words. He is expected to keep the word of God. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Establish thy word to thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Verse 42, I trust in thy word. All right? The pope must fulfill that statement in his actions. All right? I trust in thy words. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Thy word hath quickened me. I have said that I would keep thy words. All right? Now have I kept thy word. Now have I kept thy word. The words of God shall be fulfilled. The sitting pope is expected to keep this, carry out this word, which says, now have I kept thy word. I have hoped in thy word. Let, I pray thee, let thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word, to thy servant. I hope in thy word. Verse 89 of Psalm 119, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word, God's word, is settled in heaven. All right? You are hearing God's word now. Okay? In these programs, you are hearing God's word. The papacy has declared that God's word is settled in heaven. That must come to pass. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then in verse 123 of 119, we have the phrase, the word of thy righteousness, which is a reference to the word of God, is a reference to the things I have written, constituting my book, the book of the law of God, all things are demonstrated power of God. It is a reference to the things that I speak, the word of thy righteousness. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Therefore, thy servant loves it. All right? Thy word is very pure. I'm sorry. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. All right? Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. The sitting pope must show these things in his life. He must fulfill the words concerning God. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. What is the judgment that has come from me? That the Bible is a law book. That's a judgment. All right? That the papacy, the sitting pope, is a servant of God. That's a judgment. All right? That the Gentiles are God's servants. That's a judgment. Okay? The papacy says to God in verse 162 of Psalm 119, I rejoice at thy word. Hear that? I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The pope is to rejoice at the word coming from God. Okay? Give me understanding according to thy word. The pope asked God to give him understanding. All right? And verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word. The pope must fulfill that word. The pope must fulfill the word, my tongue shall speak of thy God's word. Okay? So, we have statements on the judgments of, I'm sorry, on the servant of God. We have statements on the word of God. No surprise, there are more statements on the word of God in Psalm 119 than on any other matter or issue, the precepts, the commandments, etc. Now, all of those are the words of God, words of God, words concerning God, words having to do with God. Okay? All right. Now we go to the judgments of God. What Psalm 119 says on the issue of the judgments of God. They are verses 13, 20, 30, 39, 43, 62, 66, 102, 120, 121, 160, 164, 175, 106, and they read as follow. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Isn't that something? Keep in mind, the glorious law of God, the words of God shall be fulfilled. The sitting pope must fulfill that statement. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath to thy judgments at all times. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Who is doing the talking here, and to whom does it whom it concerns? It concerns the sitting pope and his relationship to God and the things that come from God, the word that comes from God. The word here is judgments. Okay? That in verse 39, thy judgments are good. Okay? The AVB is a law book. The sitting pope is a servant of God. The sitting pope is my servant. Thy judgments are good. I have hoped in thy judgments. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous judgments. Okay? Listen, he says in verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me. In one of the questions of interest, you know, we raised a question this today, saying, whom shall he teach knowledge? Well, here, the papacy says, teach me. All right? Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Okay? 102, I have not departed from thy judgments. The papacy must bring that statement to pass. He must fulfill that statement. I have not departed from thy judgments. The Pope, sitting Pope, must fulfill that statement. The words of God shall be fulfilled. For thou hast taught me. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Just reading what the papacy has declared and set forth. All right, verse 121 of Psalm 119, I have done judgment and justice. The Pope must fulfill that. And he's speaking, when he says, I have done judgment, he has done the judgments of God. He has done what God has, you know, put forth. 160, and the things that are written in the Bible, in the AZB. Whatever judgments concerning God, you know what I'm saying? He's saying he has done those judgments. He has carried out, he has fulfilled those judgments. The sitting Pope must bring that to pass. He must fulfill the statement. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So the word of God is not to be forgotten. He said, every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Verse 164 of Psalm 119, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 175, let thy judgments help me. 106, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The sitting Pope must fulfill the statements. Okay? Those are the statements the papacy has set forth on the judgments of God. Okay, now we have, let's see, the commandments of God. We have verses coming from 119. We have verses 6, 32, 35, 47, 48, 60, 66, 73, 86, 96, 115, 127, 131, 143, 172, and 176. Listen, I have respect to all thy commandments. Okay? I will run the way of thy commandments. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. This statement must be demonstrated in the life of the sitting Pope, as he is the servant of God. My hands also will I lift up to thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. I have believed thy commandments. All right? I may learn thy commandments. That could be taken as a statement of permission, okay, that I may know thy testimonies. That thy commandment is exceeding broad. I will keep the commandments of my God. That's a declaration by the papacy with regard to commandments of God. I want to say here that after the screaming is over, I will continue and finish this part on Psalm 119, a tribute to God. So call in at the guest call-in number. Let's see if I can get it here. As our streaming is about to come to an end, bear with me here as I get to the computer to try and set up the board here. All right. Stay with me. thank you for tuning in. Those of you who have tuned in live to the program, join me next week for another broadcast of Lawmaster, The Law of God. Okay. And for those who will stay with me, give me a few moments here, please. I'm still here, trying to get to my board. And we are talking about the Psalm 119, showing that as it is, as it appears, in the Authorized Version Bible, it is the content is out of order, and what I am doing, I am putting the content of Psalm 119 in order, and I'm not able to pull up my board here. And I'm still here. Okay, I'm going to try this one more time. Oh, okay. That was my fault. My fault. My bad. Okay. Guest call in number 1-718-664-6262. Guest call in number 1-718-664-6262. I'm going to go ahead and talk, and I don't know whether I'm still on or not. I can't tell. I guess I am. I guess I'm on. I'm going to continue then. With the program. Okay, listen. Okay, let's continue. Psalm 119, verse 115. I will keep the commandments of my God. All right. So one of the commandments coming from God to the Pope is this. Come, see me. Come, visit your God. All right. Psalm 119, 127, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. 131, I long for thy commandments. 143, thy commandments are my delights. 172, all thy commandments are righteousness. Did you hear that? And verse 176, I do not forget thy commandments. Okay. Then we have the part on the law of God. Psalm 119 on the law of God. Verse 1, looks like 18, 29, 34, 44. 53, 61, 70, 72, 77, 92, 97, 109, 113, 142, 153, and 163. They read as follows. Walk in the law of the Lord. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous things out of thy law. Grant me thy law graciously. Okay? And, of course, it is evident on this program that I am giving the Pope the law of God. I am giving back that which I have received, the law of God as it is in the Authorized Version Bible. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Okay? Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall keep it with my whole heart. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. These are papal statements. And the papacy is talking to God in these statements. All right? Horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. 61, I have not forgotten thy law. 70, I delight in thy law. 72, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. 77, thy law is my delight. Except thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. That's verse 92, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. 109, yet do I not forget thy law. I hate vain thoughts. This is verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Okay, moving right on. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. What a profound statement. Thy law is the truth. But not to disregard the first part of it, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Again, speaking about the word of God, the words that come from God, the right things that come from God. Okay? Everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The papacy must see that this statement is fulfilled. Thy law is the truth. All right? Truth has to do with that which is reality. Thy law is real. Thy law is reality. Thy law is in effect. Thy law is in operation. People can see it. People walk in it. Okay? All right? Thy law is the truth. 153 of 119, I do not forget thy law. And 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Now, we know that the law is there in Revelation 17:17, saying what? The words of God shall be fulfilled. And there's another statement also in that same verse, which says, fulfill his will. God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will. All right? The Gentiles, by law, are to do what? Fulfill the will of God. Because of these statements right here. Let's see. Give me one moment. The Gentiles are to fulfill the will of God. By law, by their law, by the glorious law of God. Okay? In Genesis 42:2, Genesis 41:55, and John 2, verse 5. John 2, verse 5 says, whatsoever he, God, says to you, do it. Then we have Genesis 42. Genesis 42, verse Genesis 42:2. Is that the statement that I want? No, it's not. Okay. So let's go further. Genesis 41:55 says, what he saith to you, do. What he, God, saith to you, do. Okay? And we have one more statement. 31:16. Genesis 31:16 says, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Very important statement. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Gentiles are expected to fulfill the will of God. And we have in Genesis 31, verse 16, whatsoever God hath said unto you, do. Or, I read it, thusly, whatsoever God hath said to thee, do. All right? Clear words, easy to understand words. The Gentiles are to fulfill the will of God. They are to fulfill the words of God. Okay? All right? Now, just that the Gentiles are to respect the Pope, the sitting Pope is to respect God's ban on Jesus, the sitting Pope, as well as all other Gentiles, are to respect and they are to respect God's Freedom of Information Act and abide by the things written in that act. All right. So the papacy has spoken words concerning God throughout Psalm 119. We looked at portions that have to do with the law of God, the judgments of God, the commandments of God, the words of God, the servant of God. All right? And when it says, order my word in thy word, this is what it's talking about, putting things in order, the things that go together. Okay? All right? I have said that Psalm 119 is a tribute to God, and you can see that throughout Psalm 119, whether it's speaking about the judgments of God, whether it's speaking about the words of God, the commandments of God, all of these things have to do with the word of God, the word coming from God, the word concerning God, each and every one of them, okay? The servant of God, of course, has to do with God also, okay? All of these things have to do with God and with the word of God, just as in Ephesians chapter 6, we have what? Ephesians chapter 6, where it says 6 verses 14 through 17, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We have the word truth, we have righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the gospel, which is a synonym for truth. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All of those things in Psalm amount to the word of God in the statement I just read in Ephesians. All of the things, with the exception of the servant, you know, who is a personality, a living personality in the Pope of the Pope, the other things, the commandments, judgments, precepts, the words, the commandments, etc., have to do with the word of God. The word of God. Okay? Whether that word is written in the Authorized Version Bible or coming directly from the mouth of God or written by God. All right? Being voiced by the mouth of God, written by the hand of God or the work of God are written by the papacy in the Authorized Version Bible. The word of God, the words of God shall be fulfilled. And we read, of course, many statements from Psalm 119 that the Pope has to actually fulfill. Okay? These are not light things. These are not things that are that can be overlooked, dismissed, or whatever. These are not things that can be canceled or called back. These are things listed here in Psalm 119 that the sitting pope must fulfill, the sitting pope must perform, the sitting pope must do. The sitting pope has been ordered by God to come see God. It has gone out. The word has gone out. The commandment has gone out. To the pope, God says, come see me. All right. Okay. So in closing, it is in the mind of God, God takes Psalm 119, his usable substance, to be a tribute to God in that it focuses on the word of God. It focuses on the word of God. It doesn't necessarily focus on the person of God, but it focuses on the word of God. All right? Now, we have a statement found in Ecclesiastes 2:13. It says, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Okay? What is the gift of God? Let me turn, if I can do this quickly, to gift in the Authorized Version Bible. It's a gift. Okay? We have this. Something given to show friendship, affection, support, etc. A present. Okay, that's the definition we'll take for gift. Something given to show friendship, affection, support, etc. All right? In Psalm 119, in the many statements that I read, the popes, the papacy's support for God is evident. When he says he will keep the commandments of God, the judgments are righteous and all like that. He will keep the righteous judgments of God and all like that. All that he said, the things that he said, those things are in support of God. Those things are in support of the work of God. Those things, because he speaks of God's righteousness, those things are in support of the word of God, whether that word is in the Authorized Version Bible or whether that word comes from God himself. All right? It is the gift of God. What is the gift? The gift is the crucial matter of Psalm 119. I read much of it today. All right? Psalm 119, then, is the gift of God coming from the papacy, coming from the Vatican. It is the gift of God. In it, Psalm 119, the papacy shows its support for God, its support for God's work, God's word. It's the gift of God. So now you know, when you read in your Bible that and see these words, it is the gift of God. That gift has been identified. Psalm 119, in its crucial matter, is the gift of God. The gift coming from the papacy to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a revelation. Psalm 119 is the gift of God. That is a revelation. All right, I'm going to end here. We covered much substance today. And with that, I'll say join me next week. I hope to come on next week. Today is the second Sunday, so I should be coming on next week around the 10 o'clock hour. So around about Wednesday or Thursday, check Lawmaster's page and my description, and everything should be set up, you know, if not before Thursday, by Thursday. So check the page. Do the downloads, okay? All right, do the downloads. Visit the YouTube presentation by clicking on the link, the YouTube link, and also obtain your copy of God's wonderful book, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, by clicking on the PayPal link right there, center column, Lawmaster page. Join me again next week. Thank you.